SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
In this bulletin, the creation of a First Nations Child Commissioner hailed as a major milestone. 904 Australians evacuated from Lebanon in the last 48 hours. And the world marks 12 months since the October 7 Hamas attacks on Israel. The federal government has officially established a National Commission for Indigenous Children due to start work in January. It comes almost a year since the government announced its response to worsening rates of child removal in First Nations communities. The government had promised to create a National Commission for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people. Catherine Liddle, CEO of SNAKES, says the commission will advocate for community and provide expert advice on closing the gap measures to reduce the overrepresentation of First Nations children in out-of-home care and in detention.
We know that what we see in Australia at the moment is a terrible rhetoric around Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. And yet what we don't see is the actions required to actually change what's happening on the ground. This position is that position. This is the person that will be able to be out there looking, shining a light into every dark recess, raising the voices of hopes and aspirations, and will literally change the landscape for our children and families.
Applications for a commissioner to lead the body will open in the coming weeks. A doctor has been awarded a fellowship with the Australian Academy of Technological Sciences and Engineering for his work in mapping Indigenous genes. Professor Alex Brown says he's very pleased with the honour, regarding it as recognition that his work has meaning and is making a contribution. The UN man has spent the last 25 years working in Indigenous health. He says he has sought to understand what is unique about Indigenous people's genetic story, given their presence in Australia for at least the last 65,000 years. Australia's ambassador to Lebanon, Andrew Burns, says 904 Australians have been evacuated from Lebanon over the last 48 hours. Two more flights are scheduled to leave Beirut today, and further flights are planned pending demand, operational capacity, and the security situation. 3,756 Australians and their immediate family are still registered to depart Lebanon. Qantas Captain Owen Weaver says the airline is assisting with humanitarian recovery flights from Cyprus to Australia.
We have ground teams that manage all of our aviation flying information, but also the information that all the passengers need to get to the aircraft. And for us, the hard work is about making sure that we can get all the passengers safely to the airport, safely on our flight, and safely home.
A year after Hamas' October 7 attack, Israel has opened a new front in Lebanon against Hezbollah. Israel's military confirmed it is continuing to strike targets near Beirut, adding that it intercepted a number of about 130 projectiles fired from Lebanon into Israeli territory. Since Israel escalated its airstrikes in last September, some 1,400 Lebanese people have been killed and around 1.2 million people internally displaced. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, has called for greater international support to respond to the humanitarian catastrophe now engulfing Lebanon.
This is a major displacement crisis, as you all know, caused by this situation. The government has asked the UN to mobilize resources. The UN humanitarian agencies issued an appeal for about $500 million for 3 months only. So this is really only the beginning because we don't know what will happen next. And I heard just now that so far already 40% is funded.
Thousands of people from the North Gaza refugee camp of Jabalia have fled south following Israel's evacuation order of the north of the enclave. Israeli military has announced a new air and ground offensive in Jabalia in northern Gaza to respond to concerns that Hamas militants are regrouping. People were seen fleeing with all their personal belongings they could carry, some on foot and others pulled by donkey and cart. Munkada says there was little notice before the new offensive started.
We did not do anything, and they attacked us without warning, without notifying us of maps or anything else. They surprised us this time, and we fled. We left our families and our children without anything, just some special clothes.
Meanwhile, the death toll in Gaza after a year of Israel's military offensive has reached 41,825 people, according to Gaza Health Ministry. That includes 26 people killed in an airstrike on a mosque-turned shelter in the last 24 hours. Australia's political leaders have released statements marking one year since the October 7 Hamas attack on Israel, as rallies continue around the world marking the anniversary. In southern Israel, the attack at the Nova Music Festival last year killed 1,200 people and resulted in around 150 others being taken hostage. Following that day, the ongoing military offensive launched by Israel in Gaza has killed more than 41,000 Palestinians. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says October 7 is a day that carries terrible pain.
Since the atrocities of October 7, Jewish Australians have felt the cold shadows of anti-Semitism reaching into the present day. And as a nation, we say, never again. We unequivocally condemn all prejudice and hatred. There is no place in Australia for discrimination against people of any faith. As we mourn and reflect, we also reaffirm a fundamental principle of our shared humanity. Every innocent life matters.
In a statement, Federal Opposition Leader Peter Dutton says the last 12 months constitute one of the most difficult periods for Jewish Australians in our nation's history, and today is about respecting the memories of the 1,200 killed and praying for the hostages. The leader of the Greens, Adam Band, says he also condemns the 7 October attacks, adding that he calls for the Australian government to do more to add diplomatic pressure for Israel to stop its ongoing military operation in Gaza. Iran's foreign ministry has summoned the Australian ambassador in Tehran, Ian McConville, over what it says is his country's biased stance on Iran's attack against Israel. Australia's embassy in Tehran did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Tehran launched a missile attack against Israel on Tuesday in retaliation for the killing of several leaders of Iran-aligned armed groups. Israel has vowed to respond. In the United States, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has returned to the rural Pennsylvania site where he was nearly assassinated with less than a month before the election. July 13 was the first of two attempts on Trump's life. The second attempt on September 15 was thwarted by a U.S. Secret Service agent who saw a gunman hiding in the bushes at Trump's golf course in West Palm Beach, Florida. Republican officials hope Trump's return to Butler will galvanize support among hardcore supporters in Pennsylvania, a state he and his Democratic opponent, Kamala Harris, see as crucial to winning the election. And back home, Victorian farmers say they are preparing for the potential arrival of a new strain of the deadly bird flu. More than 1 million birds have been destroyed due to a H7N3 outbreak at 7 Victorian poultry and duck farms this year, but the Victorian Farmers Federation says farmers are now preparing for the potential arrival of the H5N1 strain. The new strain primarily affects animals, but of 900 human infections across the globe, more than half were fatal, according to the World Health Organization. It has also led to an unprecedented number of deaths in wild birds and poultry across the globe. The Victorian Farmers Federation's Vice President, Daniel Cucinotta, says additional urgent action is needed to strengthen biosecurity measures to protect the state's poultry farmers from the new strain. And in sports, one of the biggest Aboriginal sporting events in the country continues today on the final day of the Koori Knockout in Bathurst. Each year, more than 100 teams from men's, women's and junior divisions compete in one of rugby league's showpiece events. Defending men's champion Walgett Aboriginal Connection are aiming to hold on to their title. Indigenous NRL legend Timanatau is commentating the event. He told NITV Radio the competition showcases emerging talent while also fostering connections among First Nations communities.
Blackfellas love playing rugby league. That's probably the biggest thing. We love league. You know, we've got so many stars in the NRLW and in the NRL that are playing that we've all looked up to as kids. But it also brings community together. You know, usually when we're catching up is during funerals on sad times, but the Koori Knockout brings the footy atmosphere, catching up with realities that you haven't seen for a long time, just celebrating our culture.
And having a look at the weather around the country, Broome cloudy, 30 degrees, Perth mostly sunny, 24, Adelaide possible shower, 21, Melbourne showers, 19, Hobart showers as well on the top of 15, Albury Wodonga cloudy, 19, Canberra becoming windy and partly cloudy, 23, Wollongong mostly sunny, 21, Sydney sunny, 27, Newcastle also sunny, 31, Brisbane partly cloudy, 32, Townsville sunny day ahead, 28, Cairns partly cloudy, 31. Alice Springs, same forecast on the top of 33. Darwin, a sunny day ahead on the top of 36. And the Torres Strait Islands, a mostly cloudy day on the top of 31 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.